Right now, we would like to welcome back to Robinhood Radio here on The Breakfast Club, the superintendent of Region 1, and that is Lisa Carter. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Marshall. Happy Friday. How are you?
Happy Friday. The question would be, how are you and everybody else, not only in Region 1, but throughout the state going? Of course, we're getting very close to the opening of school. And for you folks who don't realize how complicated this is, all you have to do is look at the Region 1 Middle School Athletic Committee and what they've been through over the last week, with the CIAC saying one thing, the State Health Department saying another. It is really a tangled web that all you folks in education have got to deal with the start of school so close at hand, Lisa.
Yes, that's very true, Marshall, but we're Region 1 strong, and our team has been working very, very closely together to follow the late-breaking developments as they come. I feel like we're in really good shape to open our schools, and I want to thank everyone who has helped with that effort, community members, but teachers and staff and families who have been supportive of providing us with their input to help us open safely. I feel like the school part is very well set. We have our schedules for opening school at both the elementary school and the high school. As I think people know, the elementary schools are opening with a full opening for students 5 days a week, and the high school is opening in a hybrid model with two cohorts each attending 2 days per week and a day in the middle of the week for cleaning and professional learning and some distance learning for students. But you're absolutely right. The CIAC piece has been complicated. For us, for the middle school, it's fairly straightforward. I think the teachers and the principals have all said, listen, we need to get our feet on. We're an academic program. We need to get our feet on the ground safely with opening schools. And we can talk at some point, provided our transmission numbers stay low, about the possibility of doing something locally based in our schools if it's safe. The high school, on the other hand, we were really sort of bound by the CIAC decisions, and we were hoping for a decision yesterday afternoon after they met with the Department of Public Health, but there still seems to be some back and forth there, and I'm not sure when we're going to have a decision. And I think I understand it's frustrating for the athletes, but I am happy that they are taking their time to make a good and safe decision at this point.
All right. Once again, Lisa Carter is our guest this morning. The schools are reopening throughout our tri-state region, but we're talking about Region 1 at this particular point. I guess, you know, you can do everything that you can do within your power within the Region 1, and anybody that has seen or the Zoom meetings or listened in on them realize the number of people that are involved, not only administrators, not only teachers, not only parents and students, but, of course, people who keep the school clean and for everybody, bus drivers and everything like that. There's so many moving parts to this. It's almost like you're making a jigsaw puzzle within a jigsaw puzzle.
Yes, that is very true. And the guidelines have been very specific in each one of these areas. So we've worked up a punch list of all of the things that we need to do. And I have to say that All-Star has been a champion partner to work with in terms of our transportation. And they were on top of those guidelines from the beginning. And Sam Herrick has an excellent relationship with them and has been working closely with them, as did our transportation committee. The facilities managers and custodians in our buildings also have been working as a team this summer, you know, sifting through those guidelines, making sure that all of the classrooms are set up properly, that the logistics for moving through the building are well signed and understood, and that we have cleaning equipment, PPE, and finally that our air ventilation, all of those systems have been checked and are up to speed, and filters have been changed. So, yes, they've all been great. Support staff has been making sure that they are there to assist principals and do all of the things that they normally do to open up the school, which is not insignificant. You know, they're ordering supplies, they're taking in new students, which for us has been not an insignificant number. It's been north of, I think, 50 or 60 students total in the region and maybe more by this point. The last few weeks, I've lost track of the numbers a little bit because I've had so many other things to worry about. But yes, it is a lot of moving parts, and couldn't do it without the principals and the members of each of these teams really working together to keep track of the news as it develops.
Okay, now when schools open, of course, you can do everything within your power for everybody who works for you at Region 1. But a message to parents and grandparents and to students themselves, they're going to have to chip in here and follow some basic guidelines if they're going to want to keep schools open and successful, correct?
Oh, thank you for that, Marshall. Yes, and I would like to say to thank you to all of our community members who have been doing such a good job to keep our numbers low. And we need to keep up that behavior because we can keep schools open as long as our transmission numbers are low. And we know how good it is for the kids to be there, to have good relationships with their teachers and have some, you know, opportunity for socialization with each other, making friends, understanding relationships. And so that means that we have to, you know, limit our social contact, and I know that's so hard in a society where we're accustomed to and expect free movement, that we keep wearing our face masks, that we social distance, wash our hands. All of those things will continue to be critically important as we open school, and especially as we move through the year and, you know, but possibly encounter a flu season. We have to keep minding all of those guidelines.
Now, what about mask wearing? I mean, from high school down to grammar school, what's the status of that?
All students will be required to wear masks while they're in school. For students who have a medical reason why they cannot, then they will be providing us with an excuse that that's the case. And then, of course, we try other layers of mitigation there. That may include a shield or a plexiglass, trifold, something that helps to mitigate the spread of the virus, of course. And then there will be mask breaks during the day. Of course, the younger students may have them more frequently. And that will be, I know that all of the schools have that built into their schedules now. But like all of this, it will be trial and error. If we need more, we'll add more. If we don't need as many, so we'll monitor and adjust as we go through the opening days and weeks of school.
We're speaking with Lisa Carter once again, Superintendent of Region 1. And, you know, I listened to all this, and I guess you have to have a real big, strong compact with parents and grandparents, whoever's watching the students, because everything that you do is really going to depend on what parents and grandparents do with the students when they're home.
That's very true, and I will say that our teachers do have some concern about that. They, of course, are bravely coming to school and putting themselves in front of our students, and they really miss our students. I can't tell you how excited they are to see everyone, but, you know, we do need to keep everybody safe. We're working hard to keep all of the children and the staff safe, but it's a social, you know, it's an aerosolized disease, and so we do and we know now that the face masks are a mitigating factor, and I know that there are people that really feel that there should be more freedom around that, but it's undeniable, I think, at this point, that it does help mitigate the spread of the virus, and the distancing does as well. So, yes, to the extent that we can mind those guidelines, I do think it's really, really important.
All right. Well, once again, we've got students, we've got teachers, we've got administration, we've got parents, we've got the community at whole. Let's just say, you obviously, and I can't believe the amount of work that's been going on through the summer with everybody that's been involved with this. Well, obviously, you've put protocols in effect if in a worst-case scenario, and sooner or later it's probably going to happen. Somebody is going to become sick. Maybe it's COVID-19. Maybe it's the flu. Do you have rigorous protocols put in place for that?
We do. First, we ask, and thank you for asking that question as well. First, we ask that nobody come to school when they're sick. And so for parents, we have a screening protocol that we are getting ready to send out that has been provided to us by the CDC that is a series of questions to ask the child in the morning. There's, of course, the expectation that the parent will take temperature and make sure that they're not sending their child to school sick in any way. And then the same thing goes for staff. We're saying, listen, this is not the year to go for perfect attendance. If you don't feel well, you need to stay home. And then if should we have somebody become sick at school, they are to see the nurse immediately. And we have isolation space for the student to be in until they can be picked up by their parents. Staff would be sent home immediately. If they are presenting with COVID-like symptoms, they are recommended to see their doctor. The doctor or a healthcare professional, the healthcare professional will be the person to determine whether the symptoms are COVID-like enough that they would have a test.
And that's an important thing to point out, that the ultimate determination will come from a healthcare professional.
That's correct. And then once the person is tested, of course, people can be tested themselves too. You know, if they, you know, adults certainly would trust their judgment that they could go ahead and have a test. But should somebody test positive, they are to notify their principal and me immediately, and then I work closely with the Department of Public Health, who immediately kicks into contact tracing with us and will let us know if we have to quarantine a cohort of students or if we need to close the school. And schools could be closed anywhere from 2 days to up to 10 days or longer, depending on how many people have become sick and what the contact tracing information tells us. And on that note, Marshall, I would say it's very important that if this does happen and we are faced with contact tracing, that it's really important for parents and community members to answer the phone when the Department of Public Health comes. And I know that people are loath in this day and age to disclose public information when somebody that they don't know calls them on the phone. And so our public health officials have said, feel free to say, I really need to know who you are. Can I call you back at the Department of Public Health so I can be sure it's you from the public health who I'm talking to when you pick up the phone? So whatever you need to do to reassure yourself that you know who you're talking to, that's fine. But when we need the information, we need the information. And we thank everybody in advance for their cooperation.
Well, as we wrap this up this morning, I guess the main thing to point out to people that if that happens, once again, the school system is going to have to be put on the thing where you have to act on a dime and then work once again in conjunction not only with parents and staff, but also with the state of Connecticut. So there's going to be some rocky roads ahead. I mean, you hate to say it, but the old New England tradition around here in the wintertime was prepare for the worst and hope for the best, and I guess that's all you can really do.
I think you're absolutely right, Marshall. And what I did want to add is once if the school is closed, that the distance learning will kick in immediately. So, you know, we're very conscious of the kids' learning continues, whether we're in school and out of school. But, yes, you're absolutely right. And we are certainly preparing for the worst, and we are working towards the best.
Well, Lisa, good luck and congratulations on the opening of school. And we'll check back with you after school's open for a week or so and see how things are going, okay?
Oh, that would be great. And thank you so much, Marshall, and I hope you have a great weekend.
All right, take care, Lisa.
You too. Bye-bye.
That is the superintendent of Region 1, Lisa Carter, on the reopening of schools in Region 1.